I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s,
she looked like a million bucks,
scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old Richmond because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on Season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast. The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki.
Hello, here I am. Welcome to the show. It's the Nikki Glaser Podcast. I'm Nikki Glaser. I'm here in St. Louis. Brian Frangie is in Los Angeles.
Yes.
Noah is in Arizona.
Yep.
Also city in Arizona. Noah.
Yeah,
I just want to know because you... Noah just said she had an embarrassing story this weekend, and I don't want to like wait to,
right
like,
off
ease
the
into
bat.
It. I'm sorry. Okay, we don't have to ease it. I'll tell an embarrassing story first.
Okay,
okay. Well, this weekend I went to the Grammy Steven Tyler's Grammys party.
Yes.
It was like a fundraiser for Janie's Fund, which Chris was singing all night. Janie's got a fund, which I thought was pretty clever. And I'm like, did anyone not put that together yet?
I know.
I auctioned off, so that part of it was, so Janie's Fund is like a charity that gives money to support women who are coming out of foster care. They're aging out of the system, and then they're just put out there. And like the statistics are crazy. It was like 71% of women that age out, like from foster care, end up getting pregnant before they're 21. 71% or something.
Damn.
Like that. And it was like, you know, and then high percentages of going to prison and being in abusive relationships and not being able to get Taylor Swift tickets, just horrible things. And it was just like devastating statistics. And
so they raised money to give them guns.
Yeah. they raised money for new face tattoos.
Oh, okay.
No, face tattoo removal would actually be part of the thing. But it, yeah, a lot of these, you know, this is the thing is like, I was on the red carpet right before the event, and I always do this where I like sign up for a charity event or like say yes to it. And then I don't know about the charity. And then I get there and I like, don't remember that that's what we're there for. But this one I actually did know a little bit about, but on the red carpet, they're asking like, why is this so important tonight? And I'm like, can I be honest? I'm here because I got invited. I'm glad that it's for charity, but like, I just wanted to go to a cool event. I love a charity, and it makes me feel better that I spent all this money and put in all this effort to go towards something that I could like, and I auctioned off an item. So it was like, you know,
cool.
I hopefully earned more money for them, but I'll get to that in a second. I actually don't think I did, but let's be honest. Like it is really nice of Steven. No one asked Steven Tyler to do this fund. You know what I mean? Like I don't think he's doing it for tax purposes. Like I think he's genuinely like a good person who actually cares.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have been there either way. Like, I would have, and I like to give back, but it's hard for me to put that on of like, oh yeah, that this is why I'm here tonight. It's like, no, I'm here because I want to get a picture on a red carpet and seem like I'm interesting and have got stuff going on.
You made Page Six best dressed party again.
I did?
Yeah. You made it last year.
Wow. Oh. Hey.
I made it last year? What do you mean?
Yeah. At the Grammys, when you were wearing that silver like gunmetal dress with the choker, you were on the list as well.
Oh, damn. Yeah, that was the Grammys too. Oh, I forgot. Okay, well, that's nice. Well, that's all is my stylist, Danny and Emma style, if you want to follow them on Instagram. But yeah, I mean, so anyway, we were talking about it and I'm like, yeah, like, and then
nobody
I just started getting into
the, nobody's going to the Janie Foster charity events that Steven Tyler's not putting on.
Right.
No one's going to a normal Janie Foster charity event.
That doesn't have a red carpet and doesn't have Steven Tyler there and doesn't have tons of famous
which I guess is an argument for why it's a good thing that he does it, because otherwise none of these people would be there.
And they raised like $3 million in that room that night with bidding and auctions and everything. Like it was seriously, they
it's
do
also
so
like
much
a
good.
Rich person status thing to put on charity events. And it's just like something you got to do when you're rich in order to
you
maintain
to.
Your social status.
But it there is a tax incentive for sure to do it. And I don't think that's why he does it. But there has to be. Otherwise, no one would do it, right? Like, not no one would do it, but fewer people would do it. So I was happy to be there. But I was talking to these reporters about, like, why is this so important to you? And then I was like, actually, this is really important because... Then I started going off on some tangent about... you know, how I was born with a supportive family. And the reason that I'm even able to be there that night is because I wasn't in foster care and I wasn't abused as a child. And I like kind of felt loved growing up and didn't have, you know, I had a stable foundation to make me feel like I could do something. I had parents that financially supported me.
Yeah. Cause most of the celebrities there probably were abused as children. That's why they're celebrities.
Well, that's why I also said, these girls need this help because they've been through trauma and trauma makes good art. So like, and makes like for a really strong, cool person. And so I almost started getting off on my tangent about like, if you're molested, you're cool. Like I almost went there, but I didn't. But I did, I was speaking to that and that, you know, I was checking my privilege at the door along with my umbrella because it was raining a lot. And the event was really fun. But I, at the end of the night, I had to give, so it was like this, we were just watching, you go there and you sit and you eat dinner and it's this really fancy, you know, 3-course meal and I'm sitting at this table with all these celebrities and it's really fancy. Everyone's dressed like they're at the Grammys. Mm. The dress was rock and roll chic. So it's like, it was fancy. It was at the Palladium, this big, you know, space and it was gorgeous. And I think, I don't know. Someone like sponsored my ticket. I did not buy a ticket to go. I think there's like these tables you had to like buy a seat, but I was doing one of the auctions. They let me in for free, whatever. It was awesome. And, but then the auction was after the Grammys. So we're watching the Grammys and I'll get into that later of like who is at my table and the dynamics there and trying to watch Taylor Swift win, but not act like too much of a fangirl because I didn't want to seem lame because no one else really seemed to care that much. But it was the highlight of my night when she won. Like it was as if my best friend was winning. I was, so excited. But at the end of so we watched the whole Grammys and then after that, that's when the auction start. And my auction item is like number 10 and my auction item is Taylor Swift's earrings that she wore to a Chiefs game.
Wow. Did you buy them?
No, cause they were like, this was like, they went for $50,000, which isn't that much in the scheme of things. Like other stuff was going for a lot. I think $50,000 was. That's reasonable for, it was some stacked rings, you know, like two or three rings that J-Lo wore in a video, music video. And there's like a prominent picture of her like doing this and like posing with them. So you know she wore them and they were the ones she wore. And then the earrings were the ones Taylor Swift actually wore to the Chiefs game. I remember looking up these exact earrings because I follow Taylor Swift Styled, which is an account that tells you how to buy her things, as you know, I frequent. And so I remembered these earrings. And I was really excited to have that be the thing that I was auctioning off. Or like there was a guy doing the auction going like, we got 50.
Okay, I was wondering if you were the one doing that.
No. There was a guy that did it and he was really good at it and sounded like.
So what did you do?
I was just like presenting the item and talking about it. But I.
Oh, cool.
So what did you say? You had the rings?
I was so nervous because it's like a room of a bunch of like celebrities and their, you know. Mistresses and just different. There's like lots of people, lots of rich people in the room for sure.
Sure.
Like there were people that were just like donating $100,000 by raising their hand. Just like, okay, I'll just give that. Like really important people. And they gave me a script. This is always the way it is with these things. They give you a script And then they go, but you can punch it up. And then there's no, then, but there's no like, okay, here's the punched up script I wrote. And now you print that up for me. There's just like, now here's the, they hand you the script and they're like, now here it is. And you're like, but you told me I could punch it up and now you're handing it to me and it's the same one as before. Like, I was just kind of going to go off the top of my head. So I got this script and I'm like, should I follow this? And then I was like, no, I'll just go off the top of my head. I know like what jokes I'm going to make. And I just, I went off the rails, man. Oh, I was nervous. No. Bill Burr was there. I get nervous ever doing anything in front of Bill Burr because I like him so much. And I just know that he like is cynical about everything. And I don't know. I just felt, I know that I, if I were
100%.
Him,
and that's
he's so on your 100% he is. And he's really nice. And like, he was, he, I know that. And I put it out of my mind. And luckily he left before I went on stage. I like was, I was pulled early from my table and he was sitting at my table. And then I was pulled early to like go in the wings and wait for my item to come up. And while I was gone, he had left. And I was so glad because afterwards I was like, I said to Chris, I was like, oh, I can't believe Bill Burr saw that. And he was like, no, he left right before. I was like, yes.
Yeah.
Not that it really matters, but like it kind of does because I just was. So I started out good. I made all my jokes that I wanted to make. I was like, these are the same earrings that she nervously played with while she watched Travis Kelce go in for a pass or whatever. And I was like, she definitely like went like this, like, oh, she was putting them in and was like, do I get it? Like, I was like, she's touched these. So her DNA is on it. You can, the technology is advanced enough. We can, you could use these to clone her someday. And I was
funny.
And then I was saying, and then there's some rings that J-Lo wore in a music video that no one saw. And that didn't get a laugh, but that just got groans because everyone's suddenly loves her now because whenever there's like a backlash, you know, with Io, you know, did you see that?
No.
You know, the girl that is on in the Bear that won the Golden Globes.
Oh yeah, for Emmys. Sure. And she just hosted
SNL.
Yep.
She hosted with J-Lo and there was a video that came out or a podcast clip that came out where she was talking about, it was called, the podcast is called Scam Artist. And it was, she was like, you know, who's the biggest scam artist going is J-Lo. This girl thinks she can sing. So it was like 2 years ago that she went off about J-Lo being a scam. And then it resurfaced right before she's doing the show with J-Lo, which is really embarrassing. I've been there before where you mouth off and then you have to like work with that person because you just don't think you'll ever get to the place in your life where you're like next to J-Lo being like, I'm hosting SNL this week with musical guest J-Lo.
Oh,
I talked shit about 2 years ago and it's she's like going to be singing the thing I told you she can't do.
Yeah.
But anyway, so it's kind of like, there was this like, there was a lot of chatter online about can she sing, whatever. And then I think that because I just said no one saw this video because no one did. There's no way anyone did. It was,
I didn't see it.
There's you, I, the name of it is something I'd never
even
heard
realize
of the song.
J-Lo was still doing music.
And I was just making a joke. No one watches musical videos, musical videos. No one watches music videos at all. You know, it was just a dumb joke, but got groans because how dare I? And you know how dare I? Because I'm less successful than J-Lo. So I can, you can punch up everyone. Did everyone forget that you can punch up? That is, that we've all agreed that's allowed, that you're not supposed to punch down.
But the only person allowed to make fun of celebrities is Ricky Gervais. He gets away with it. That's it.
The only they like were mad at him at first when he did that Golden
Globes. Maybe that's the difference then. Maybe it's just like, you can't care if they get mad at you. And then you got to get mad at them for getting mad at you.
Yeah.
Be like, I'm so sorry.
Apologized.
You did?
Io did.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
She kind of said like, I'm embarrassed of things I said 2 years. She kind of like alluded to it and did it in a really classy way. I would have not handled it that well. I would have been like, can I get on a different show? Like, I would have just begged to be on a different, I don't know what I would have done if I were her this. Cause you know, J-Lo is going to see it or hear about it, that you we're mouthing off on a podcast about how she can't sing. I mean, I just hope I never have to cross paths with her because I don't think
you've
she can't.
Been
I can't
smack,
but I can't sing, so I'm allowed to call it someone else who can't sing. You know what I mean? Like, maybe I should only be able to call someone else out if I could sing. But I think
anybody
as someone
who's
can't
a celebrity
sing,
you should be allowed to make fun of anybody who's a celebrity who's in the public light. They're choosing to be in the public light, therefore they are choosing to.
I don't know about that
publicly. Why? I mean, that's part of the game. If you're going to be a celebrity, you need to know that people are going to be talking about you. Yeah. That's the whole point.
Even though it's not in good taste, I do agree with Brian.
Yeah, it's just not, Yeah, it's
celebrities,
it's tough,
politicians, the same thing.
I don't want to be made fun of, but I know, but I do know that it's part of it, and I have been made fun of, and I just don't. I just, you know, I laugh along with it, and I go, I know. It's nice when you hate yourself deep down, because anyone that says anything about you, you can just go, I agree. You know, like, yeah. It's really, but if J-Lo likes herself, so I think that's the problem.
That would be a funny reaction. If you're sitting in an audience, someone makes fun of you and it cuts to you and you just go, I agree. That would be a funny reaction.
Oh, you mean like at an award show I get made fun of? Yeah, yeah, I wouldn't mind that. Cuts
to you. You could do the Taylor Swift thing of just sipping your drink. But mm-hmm. I think it'd be funny if you turned to the person next to you and go, you know, I agree. She's making a lot of good points.
I don't think it's hatred, though. I want to just say it's like, I think you have self-awareness. Like, it's not the self-hatred that makes you that way. You have self-awareness,
no,
which a lot of people don't have.
So when people are like, when it's kind of nice, because anything anyone could say about me, I know. I felt that way before about myself. I agree with you on a deeper level. I'm not fighting you on it. I don't know why I'm famous either. It irritates me sometimes too. Or like, I'm not even whatever level of fame I have, it confuses me as well. Like anything that you could be like, what's her deal? Her face is weird. Whatever you could say, she has, I don't know. Her feet are gross. I agree with you. But so I get up there to do this auction and I run out of jokes. I run through all my jokes. I say, you know, Travis Kelce's saliva might be on these earrings because he whispered in her ear later that night. His spittle might have, you know, gotten onto them as he whispered, babe, you want to get hot wings? And I think when I get nervous, it's like when Jay-Z said, when I get nervous, I get honest. Is that what he said? When I get nervous, I tell the truth. That's what he said at the Grammys. And I was like, woof, do I relate to that, man? Mm. Like when all else fails, just start. I don't even know if I got honest. I just got gross. I got really vulgar. And I'm not like a vulgar person, but I am, I guess, because I don't have a problem saying these things. But I was like,
definitely to the general public. And
yeah,
especially these uptight, stick up their ass celebrities who pretend like they're so open to all sorts of artistic expression. And then as soon as someone says anything remotely offensive, they get the stick up their ass so far that they're like a fucking puppet.
Yeah.
I think Hollywood is the most stick up their ass group of people. Anyway.
Oh, my God. You sang a song, you wrote a song, and you acted in something. You've literally done nothing for the world. That's literally nothing.
Sometimes they don't even write the song.
Yeah, or sing it.
That's why people love when Ricky Gervais goes off at the Golden Globes and then says like, fuck you for even getting offended at this, because these people are just clutching their pearls the entire night.
It's, yes, and I'll add myself to the list. I just tell jokes. I am not like, calling me an artist is a stretch. And artists aren't that cool. And the world would be fine without it. I mean, it would be a little bit boring because art like makes you feel good and stuff and makes you process your feelings, but we don't really need it.
No.
It's not like we're not really changing lives in the way we all think we are. Anyway, we know that. So then I just start saying like, if you have a Swiftie in your life, you need, because I'm talking to men because men are the ones that are, you know, actually there's some women that bought some stuff. And we're paying big money. This woman, I think, spent like $500,000 on a car that was auctioned off. It was crazy. But I was just saying to anyone who has a Swiftie wife, you will get your dick sucked so hard. It will get sucked off. I was like, I didn't say it, but I was saying I was even telling Chris, like, you know, I was just joking as other people were doing auctions. And I was like, they just need to tell people that this will get them laid. Like, that should be the incentive for every man. Like, if you raise up your little paddle right now, your wife will blow you or whoever. And so I just started saying, yeah, this will get this. If you want to get a blowjob tonight and you have a wife that like likes Taylor Swift, this is the guarantee. She will. And then I go, if you have a daughter that loves Taylor Swift, she'll forgive you for trying to bang her au pair. I was just like saying, I was like that by your. By your children's affection, you will be, your daughter will be cool at school. No one will fuck with her if she has these earrings. And then I said, you know what? I'll blow you if you buy these earrings. If you buy them for me, I have a boyfriend. He's sitting right there. I don't care. I'll blow you tonight if you buy these and give them to me. If you want a blowjob from Nikki. And I'm just like going off. And I don't really mean that, but I kind of do. And so then, then I look down and I have forgotten there are children here.
Oh, no.
In the, right in front of me. This is a huge, huge room with probably like 300 people, 400 people. And there are children sitting right in the front. And I remember, I knew they were there. Steven Tyler had talked to them prior to the auction starting and was like, do you play drums? You know, and he was talking to the kids.
They were the foster women who were raising money for.
Oh, my God.
They were the children foster women, of the foster women.
All they're talking about is like how they used to, you know, prostitute. And now they don't have to do that anymore. And I'm up there literally prostituting. Yeah. And so I see the kids and then I'm on this rant and then I stop it and the guy's going off of like, we got 25 over here. Can we get 27? Can we get 27? You know, and I see the kids and then I just go like deer in headlights. Like I can't talk anymore. Like I'm supposed to be chiming in with like, and they're sustainably grown. They're lab grown diamonds, blah, blah, blah. I'm supposed to keep giving details and I'm horrified by what I've done because I see the kids and I see like the parents kind of like coddling them and I don't even know. I didn't say anything. I wasn't like, I mean, that's as filthy as it got. As I said, I will blow you. I promise I'll blow you after the show. But I felt horrible. I haven't recovered from it. I can't get over it. And afterwards I was walking around just like so ashamed. I wanted to leave immediately, but people kept coming up to me and being like, oh my God, that was nuts. That was the highlight of the night and saying stuff like that. But it was like, and I kept going, I forgot there were kids here. I forgot. And they were like, it's okay. They're going to learn somehow. And I'm like, yes, I know that, but when they're adults, they should learn. Like,
don't
not
worry
as
about
children.
That. They're celebrities' children. They're going to be fucked up no matter what happens to
them. That's a good point.
And if I mean, knew what blowjob meant, then that means that they've probably heard more fucked up things than what you've said.
Oh, kids.
Otherwise,
these
they would describe what it was. I wasn't like, I will suck on your penis.
Probably just thought like a blowout.
Until cum comes out.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you hear someone say blowjob on stage? Does that mean you're going to star in Succession? Like, what? That's like these kids are, you fucking them up is only going to make them become stars in the future.
Okay. Okay.
You've helped them, Nikki. You didn't even know it.
Yeah. Trauma leads to people overcoming things and working harder.
Yeah.
And
that's the whole point.
So it was good that I did. I just felt like, you know,
you didn't do enough, quite frankly.
Filthy. I felt like, ew, get her out of here. She won't be invited back. She didn't understand the tone. Like, it's almost like I wore the wrong thing to the event. You know, like you just feel like you didn't get the message and like, you're not one of us. Like it just felt, I hate the added thing of like, she wanted to like offend all of us. And it was like, no, I didn't. I promise you, I was only trying to sell those earrings and be funny and also just like survive. Like my survival instincts are just go to filthy jokes. Like, and I don't even really I promise you, I don't intentionally do it. And yeah, maybe it is just like a crutch because I know it'll get a laugh, but I really didn't even get a laugh. And it was not guaranteed to. I just was drowning and struggling for a life raft. And I had no intention of saying blowjob. I was only joking about blowjobs with Chris in his ear as I was like making fun of other people presenting items. And I was just suggesting like they should just promise. And then that's because I had said it, it was in my subconscious. And when I ran out of jokes to say or anything to say, and it was just awkward that I honestly think it hurt the auction because I think that if a man wanted to buy them and he's sitting next to his wife, she now is like, he's just doing that so Nikki will blow him or whatever. You know, like I think I hurt it by like making that part of it. And I was like, oh,
so that makes sense.
Yeah. So then I felt so bad and everyone was like, I'm surprised they didn't go for more. And I'm like, I know. And then I go, oh my God, it was because I fucking ruined it. It was so embarrassing.
Maybe they just wanted you, like they didn't want the kids to hear anymore. So they were just like, okay, let's just bid a whole ton of money on this.
So
we closed the auction.
No, they, I think they were one of the lowest selling.
What if one of the kids bought them?
And she had just won her fourth fucking artist album of the year Grammy. They're like, it's like, everything was in place for them to, and even the woman holding the earrings was looking at me like, what the fuck? She was just there to like model them and just hold them. And then she goes, She just won fourth album. She just set a record for four albums. And I was like, and she had four albums. Like she was even trying to help me by giving me like talking points. And I couldn't, I was just, once I saw that there were kids there, I was disgusted with myself. I wanted to get off the stage. I wanted to go hide in a hole. I couldn't even handle it. And then I walked back to the table and I'm just like, I didn't even see that Bill Burr wasn't still there because I was hanging my head so low. And then I was like, I'm going to the bathroom. And then Chris came with me and I was like, I can't believe Bill Burr just saw how bad that was. And he was like, he's gone. And so that's how sad I was. I like couldn't even look at anyone. I wouldn't even look at, he was sitting at my table and I had not seen he left because I was just didn't want to make eye contact with anyone because then they have to go, good job. And it's like, no, it wasn't. But everyone afterwards was coming up to me like, that was the funniest thing. I love you so much. And it was a lot of gay drunk men. So that's my...
Yeah, it's your target demo.
Yeah, that's the
your
niche demo.
Demo.
I want it anyway. Yeah, I love it. And so I felt like so good that so many people came up.
The only problem really nice. That you're having right now, I think, is that you want to be accepted by this group of people. And the truth is, the only way to be accepted by these people is to act like you don't want to be accepted and be above them.
No, I just didn't. I think I just didn't want to offend anyone. Or have someone think that I'm dirty or that I think I'm cool because I'm being dirty or that I'm being dirty because I love to just rub my sexuality in their face. Like, I don't want anyone to be like actually turned on by me offering a blowjob. I want it to be funny because obviously that's not what's going to happen. But I think I sometimes toe that line between like people don't know what I'm about. They just introduced me and the biggest Swiftie out there in Hollywood, Nikki Glaser. And it's like, there's, again, no fucking context for what I am. No one knows who I am in that room. It was like, you know, I was just the girl sitting next to Zooey Deschanel. And we'll talk about that later. But, and then Noah's going to tell us her embarrassing story after the break, right after this. Are you looking for some amazing TV to stream? Well, sink into your couch and indulge with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. We're talking some of the greatest comedies of all time. Absolute must-watch shows. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the crew in How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons of How I Met Your Mother are now streaming on Hulu right now. One of my favorite shows ever. And I mean, don't you want to know how he met their mother? Then go back home with the Dumfies, the Pritchetts, and the Pritchett Tuckers in Modern Family. Then you can start over with the Roses on Schitt's Creek. And then see what's up in the Kyle household in My Wife and Kids. We're talking every episode and every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits, streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. I mean, can you even watch all of this? We think so. Head on over to Hulu and start streaming today. Now we're talking.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back. Noah, what happened to you this weekend that was embarrassing?
Okay, so Noah's a little bit...
Similarly, I asked a bunch of celebrities that I'd blow them. Anyway, go on.
No, I didn't do that. It's actually a little bit like way different than your story. So I went bra shopping for my wedding dress because I have like all I have are like discounted sports bras that are really big and all that. So I'm like, okay, I need like a nice...
Yes.
Nice bra. So where do I go?
Wait, like, is your wedding dress like a maternity wedding dress?
Yes.
They sell those?
Yeah. There's actually a lot of nice options. I went for like a form-fitting one that's like sparkly.
All right. And,
it's a tale as old as time. I mean.
And it's really is. V-cut. So I'm like, you know what? I have these puppies. Let me use them while I still got them.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I was like, who has the best push-up bra that I know of? And it's Victoria's Secret. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I'll go to Victoria's Secret. I'll get like a huge push-up bra. I'll make them look like gazungas.
Those puppies are going to grow up one day to be dogs.
And I'll love them if they stick around. So anyway, so I go in and I have no idea what my new bra size is. So I'm just kind of like looking. I'm like shuffling through these like white push-up lace bras, and one of the girls that works there comes up to me and she's like, do you need help with anything? And I said, yes, I don't know my bra size, so I'm trying to figure it out. And she's like, oh, well, I can measure you. So she measures me, and then she's like, why don't you
like
go
with your clothes on or in the dressing room?
With my I just had my t-shirt on, and she just did it over the t-shirt, and she's like, why don't you go into the dressing room and I'll give you like the stock bras to try on. Mm-hmm. Just so we can kind of see, you know, just like get you the,
guess your size.
The perfect fit. Go ahead.
I bet you're right now a 34 triple D.
Incorrect.
Okay, go on.
I'll reveal the bra size if people stick around to the
D?
End of this.
A G?
I think so. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Well, then it's not, I'm that not because you didn't
I'm
know
not,
off the top of your
I'm
head.
Not there yet. All
right,
yeah.
She's trying to trick you.
Is they try to trick quadruple me. D, right? Like it's like triple is the most. So double D?
No, not that big.
Oh, okay, go on.
So anyway, so she sends me to the fitting room, and she brings me like the trial bras or whatever, and I try them on, and we find like a good fit, a good size, and then she's like, okay, I'm gonna bring you a bunch. I'm like, okay, I need white or beige. So just and I'd really like a push up. So she brings me like two, and she's like, okay, I heard Noah. Okay, Noah, I'm putting them on the door and I'm going to get you some more. I'm like, okay. And I was like, did I give her my name?
Yeah.
What?
I was like, I don't think I gave her my name. How does she know my name is Noah? So then I'm like, maybe she just said now. So then she comes back with some more, and she's like, hey, I think she said, hey, now, but she goes, hey, Noah, I have some more. And I was like, how the
hey
fuck?
Now doesn't even make sense.
I know. She's maybe like 21. There's no way she's like listening to Howard Stern or knows
hey now
that Gary Shandling show where it's
hey
from.
Noah. Okay.
So so I'm like, that is so weird. So anyway, so I open the door and I show her my like the size. So she gave me a 34D.
Okay. Oh.
The cup all was right. Good. But it was way too tight around my waist. So I was like, this is like, you know, it's, I think I might have to go up in size. So then she's like, okay, well, we can give you your sister's size.
What?
And I was like, okay, how the fuck does she know that I have a sister?
I love weird. That you're like thinking that she actually knows these things. Like cosmically, she just senses it as opposed to this is a different person she thinks you are.
I'm wow. Like this naked pregnant lady just standing there. I'm like, I was like, I'm sorry. How did you know that I have a sister and what her bra size is?
Oh my god.
No.
Wait, what the could this be?
So she's looking at me and she's like, your sister size. And I'm like,
your sister size.
I was like, I am so like, and you knew my name. I don't think I gave you my name. And she's like, what? She got so scared.
Right.
She's like this beautiful, like young, she was like either Polynesian and like Hispanic and just like so delicate looking. And here she is like appalled by my questioning, asking her how she knew my name and that I have a sister. She had no fucking idea what I was talking about because apparently, did you know that, you know, there's like two versions of your bra size. So my sister size is actually a 36C.
Mm. No. I don't like this. We don't speak your industry jargon. No one knows about sister size.
No, Nikki, because
this
later
is not
on,
okay.
I was walking around. I had to go back into the fitting room and she said it to someone else. And that girl understood what she was saying.
No, she didn't. No. She was pretending to understand.
She goes, she's like, Noah, I have your sister size and I know you from the podcast. So I know that you're not on camera that often.
She
and then you're like, what, do you know me? And she's like, no.
She had no idea.
Is an industry term about bras.
This she had
insane.
No idea who I was. It was just
so
the language.
She said Noah. She said now?
Yeah,
I think she
said, hey, no.
Yeah, I was like, my name is Noah. How did you know that? And she was like, what? I didn't know that.
She's fucking
like,
with
so
you.
Scared.
She knows.
But
no.
What does your sister size mean? It means like another size you could be. Like, that doesn't make any fucking sense.
So basically, when you go up in your waist size, your cup size becomes one size smaller.
You mean you're like, you're not waist, like rib cage size.
Yeah, like rib cage size. Exactly.
Got it. Okay, so if you go from a 34 to a 36, you're going to go from like a D to a C.
Right. So
you ended up at a 36C.
Yes. I used to be either a 34A or a 32B.
Oh my
so
God.
My sister size was the 32B.
Got it.
So you
okay.
See? So that was, I felt so stupid and I was like,
that's
oh my God,
that
I'm
that
like
embarrassing,
this.
But it's kind of cute, but it's,
I'm
that's
so
on her dude, because
yeah.
She assumed that you knew her stupid Victoria's Secret made up like branding jargon that's just tries to make what they do seem more like family friendly or something like that.
No.
Doesn't make
no,
any
she's
sense.
She's pranking you. I'm going to see
no,
you
she wasn't
on TikTok.
Pranking. She's
You're going to be on TikTok later.
No, it's one of these things people
totally.
Do. Like,
Jesus
you know these people girl. That just assume you are in their brain and have had all your experiences. So
unless
they'll be like, oh
thing.
My God, I have my ICT test this week. And you go, I don't know what that, why would you know me. How would you, do you think I know what an ICT, I'm not in your industry. I don't work in, you know, whatever, public school education. I don't know what that certification class is. Stop. Like, I catch my friends doing it sometimes where I'm like, do you think she, like, I'll see someone say something that I know the other person doesn't know. And like, who this weekend, there was someone that did it this weekend. And, they were talking about. It was just like they were mentioning their husband, I think. Like
oh,
they were just
God.
Saying, and then we were at with
husband.
But it was
I don't
like,
want those industry
but
terms.
But I know
Nikki.
My mom doesn't know Avi's name or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, so it just, or doesn't even know that this person's married. So like,
right.
I just have to keep, I have to keep injecting context constantly and go,
right.
That's her husband's name. That, uh-huh. Like Kirsten does a lot, but she does it innocently because she just doesn't. It's not the same thing. She's not like, everyone should revolve around my life, but she's just like, she'll talk about where she works. Where, she'll be like, so yeah, today. So I went to Hillside and I go, that's the gym she works at. Like people don't know these words. And sometimes I do it too. Like I did it on Dancing with the Stars where I said, I've had a lot of rough sets in my life. And everyone thought I said sex because no one, unless you're a comedian, you don't really talk about comedian set, like people don't know what that means. And so I've done it too where I just think everyone is like in my brain and knows my life. But sister size is not a thing. It's a thing that you educate someone about. And
okay,
then you start
I just want to know because I am so out of touch with like I don't read Teen Vogue anymore or Teen Beat or all those magazines. So all the girls who are in their 20s that listen to this show, is it a thing? Or
oh,
am I
yeah,
out of
you
touch?
Think maybe it's like a Gen Z thing like Riz.
Yeah.
Or like no cap, like you think it's just slang that everyone knows. I don't think it is,
maybe.
But yeah, maybe.
Size. I mean,
no, you didn't.
I
and I
it.
Wonder if Allie would know. We should check. But yeah, have
I don't
you
know
did,
what a bra is though, but I do know what sister size is.
You did not know that. Are you serious?
No.
Okay, of course. Good. I was like, what? You know what's so annoying about bras? One of my favorite bras. the bottom, you know, it has two clasps on it. And mm-hmm. the bottom one, like, you know, just like the wire bent in the laundry or whatever. And so it's just straight now. And now it only, I can't wear it. I can't stand when a bra is just like, oh God, like cliffhanger, like one little clasp. Like I need it to be solid across. Otherwise it feels like tight. And the other one is, it's just like, and it's spilling out on the end. I don't like it. And so that bra is dead to me now. Bras are just so confounding, and it's so funny that there's so many memes about them, and all women relate except the
men
sister
relate too. Hey, to bras being, I mean, this is like every man growing up is their whole existence revolves around being able to reach around and unclasp
it's
a bra.
It's such a simple thing that you guys freak out about, but I get
If it takes any time at all, it's like an emasculating embarrassment.
They should
and you gotta
really
be able to do it with one
that,
hand.
Like putting condoms on a banana.
Yes.
You should have to take a bra off a pumpkin. You know, like we should have that because I just feel like regardless of if it's important or not, there's just so much anxiety that goes along with sex stuff and like the other, like I didn't know that dicks could like go all the way up. I just thought that they would like go parallel or, you know, perpendicular to a man's body. And like, I didn't know they could go up more
Or
like,
curve.
Those are like wild. I mean,
I didn't know. I just thought it would
dicks.
Be like bone, and then it was just like straight. I did like when it, you can just move it everywhere. I didn't know that.
Oh, you could push. Like there are some dicks erect. They do like an arch, like the stock market going up.
Yes.
And
that's
like,
so true.
Those are like pornographic. Those are like the big bat black
like
cocks you see on porn
of a
pictures.
Plane taking off.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, I didn't know. Well, now I know. I thought dicks, because you just see guys going like, oh, and getting their dicks hit. I thought it was the dick getting hit that hurt. I didn't realize it was the balls. So like when I was first handling a dick, I was so delicate. Like I was handling an artifact from a, you know, an archaeological dig. I just didn't want to touch it in any way. And now I realize it's the balls that have.
The dick can hurt too.
I'm sure, but not the way the balls. I mean, yes.
No, the balls are particularly sensitive.
Yeah. I didn't know that it was mostly a
the
ball.
Balls
thing
are like
go,
a crowd at the a celebrity crowd at the Grammys.
Sensitive.
Yeah.
Stuck up.
Yeah. Well, the dick is stuck up. The balls are sensitive.
Oh, the balls. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you guys watch the Grammys?
No, I meant to. Billy Joel was there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my man.
Yep, he was there. I was like trying to watch it, but because we were at a dinner and there's so much talking going on and socializing, it's like hard to watch and listen, but
too much to pay attention to.
Yeah, but I really wanted to because I and you think you're going to go back and watch, but you just don't. I don't care about Dua Lipa's performance after the fact. I just don't care. I want it. Mm-hmm. I want to watch it live. I missed it because we were late getting there, and everyone was like, "Oh, she killed it," and I'm like, "Oh yeah, I'll just watch that later." Have I watched it? No. It has it come across my feed a bunch? Yes. And did I watch it? No. I don't have the time, but I have all the time. Miley Cyrus's performance. I keep seeing clips of that. Have you guys seen that?
No.
I didn't want to leave
them, but
I loved her looks. Her hair. Oh,
yeah. Oh,
loved it.
Yeah.
She could never pull it off, but she did.
I mean, you could because you just have to be rock and roll. Like you just got to be so confident, and that girl can pull off anything. Also, she has 0% body fat, so she can wear anything. She she's had an eye operation that I like. I think it looks good. But there's no question to me that something's taken place there. And I can't believe more people aren't talking about it. But I guess it's none of our business. But to me, anytime someone gets face work, we all talk about it. But this, we're not. But maybe it was part of her look. Like she had this blown back hair. And so her eyes were supposed to look like, whoa, like they've been blown back as well. Maybe that was it. But I can't imagine.
Sounds crazy.
No one's talking about it. Like I keep reading. This is whenever I suspect someone's had face work, I just start to read the comments to go like, who's going to confirm it for me? Who else is seeing what I'm seeing? No one's talking about it. Maybe she didn't. As someone who tends to look at these kind of things, I think an operation happened, which, you know, no shade because I'll do the same thing. But I liked that she was like so excited that she won a Grammy. I thought that was really cool that she wasn't scared to just be like, I just won my first Grammy. But I would have thought she won more had she not said that.
Yeah.
Like, I was kind of like, she's only won one.
Act like you've been
I was
kind
of like, just, yeah.
Wait
like,
until you make it.
But I liked that she said that because it showed that she's not, Yeah, that she isn't just too cool for school. Like, it actually excites her. And she's before kind of come across like she's too cool for school. She did make some mention.
I just won my third Grammy. And then like an announcer had to be like, that was her first Grammy.
No, they wouldn't. People would just go, I guess that's correct.
Yeah. You know, just make it that way. Just you should have said that on stage as a Grammy winner. You should have said that at Steven Tyler's thing.
No one would question it. They'd go, oh, she won
a Grammy for comedy.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I could.
Comedy album.
Egg. Out of all the, like, the closest I could get to getting an EGOT is Egg. In what, for what I do, I think. I will say this. I liked what she gave, like, a speech when she got one of her things, and I kind of overheard it because I was coming back from the bathroom, because I had to keep going to the bathroom because I forgot to wear fucking deodorant, and I started smelling so bad, and I couldn't, like, I was just sitting at the table like this, like, looking really awkward, nervous, couldn't lift up my arms because I was just so scared someone would smell it.
I want to tell you something, Nikki. We had a parallel because I forgot to wear deodorant when I went bra shopping, which was, like, another reason why I was more
stunk up those stock bras.
Sister stink.
I was like, please don't make me put my arms too high up when you're measuring.
Sister stink. I found the best way to combat body odor is to say you have it when you're around people. Just say, I forgot deodorant. I know I might stink. And anything that they could think about you is out the window because you've already called it out. So just say it to people.
But it also might make people aware who weren't aware.
But at least you've called it out. The worst thing is to have someone smell it and think that you don't know. I think that's the worst thing. Like, I could smell someone, but if I know they know, then I'm like, and they're like, you know, they're nervous about it. They're not like, yeah, no, I stink.
That's a weakness.
That's cool right. to me.
But if you roll in there like, I stink and I
but
know
I wasn't,
it.
Yeah, I wasn't good enough. I wasn't friends enough, like Zooey Deschanel and her boyfriend, Jonathan Scott from Property Brothers. We were sitting right next to them at the table, and I wasn't. We were good enough friends at the end of the night.
Yeah,
but at so the when said, I first started smelling myself, I was like, I can't tell them. I wanted to, but I couldn't.
So before you leave, you go up to Zooey Deschanel and go, by the way, I know I stank all night, and then
I
you can
really. If you see me in the picture with them, like, I'm scared to put my arm around them because I was so stinky. So I kept going to the bathroom to wet down cloths, and my dress was so tight I had to go through. I couldn't go up through the bottom because I couldn't reach the zipper behind, so I had to go through my neck and go in and wipe it, and I, you know, wet a cloth, I put soap on it, wet it, then I do another wet cloth, then I dry it off. So I kept going to the bathroom to take care of that, and I was wearing this thong Skims, so it was like a Skims that, like, sucks you in. It really looks like a wrist cuff, like when you first put it on, and it's so tiny, barely goes over your ankle, then you put it on, it sucks you in, but it slowly rides up through the night, and it is splitting you. It's cleaving you in two because it's a thong. So it's just slicing you up. And so then it was like severe advanced, you know, almost like infectionary camel toe happening, where it was it hurts so bad. It hurts so bad. When you have this rubber band slicing you up the front of your crotch, it was so painful. So I had to kept going to the bathroom to pull that out. So when I was going to the bathroom, I heard one of her speeches, which was like, I just want to say, this does not change anything for me. This doesn't really matter. I'm the same person that I was when I woke up this morning. And I liked some of that, of like, this isn't going to change my life. So she had both of it going. Like, she was very excited about it, but she was also like, don't think that this makes me any different. And then I also loved that during, when she was singing, I Can Buy Myself Flowers, you could tell that she noticed the crowd was being too cool for school, and probably only Taylor Swift was like up dancing, singing along, because that's how she does at award shows, because she has fun. But you could tell Miley was like, what the fuck? No one's singing along. And you see her at one point, she goes, oh, don't even act like you don't know what this song is. And she was like, she like calls them out, and she like fucked up a lyric to be able to say that to them. I really liked that, her calling them out. She's so cool.
That's the equivalent of Ricky Gervais saying like, oh, I'm sure you're so offended that I made fun of J-Lo. Like, when you do that, you're just showing them. You just have to tell them how they're supposed to respond to. Easier
That's a
said
good
than
point.
Done, obviously.
You're right. I was like towing that line of like wanting them to like me, but also telling the truth. And you have to go all in and go, oh, really? Are you so sad that I said, well, who here saw this video? Tell me one thing that happened in that music video. Can one person raise their hand and tell me one thing that happened in that video?
Right.
That would have been a great thing to do. You're right. Okay, I'm going to start leaning into
like
it more.
Too upset. You can't seem like emotional.
You can't feel coy. You can't start going, well, I didn't have like, time to write this.
It's got
to
be.
That's how I felt. But you can't say that. Yeah, you can't get too emotional.
Just
this
little punchline joke jab. Oh, I'm sure you all saw the video. I'm sure you all have the video on repeat on your...
Oh, man.
I'm sure it's your iPhone wallpaper is this picture of J-Lo with her rigs.
That's what... Whenever I do a joke about a burn victim or a burn survivor in my set, not a joke about them, but I reference what a burn survivor looks like, and people go, oh, and I go... What do you think they look different? Am I like, I'm just describing what they look like. I'm not being mean. It literally is just a description. I'm just trying to convey what I notice, and people just get I get so mad. I go, really? I go, have you ever seen a burn survivor? Their faces look different. Like I freak out because they just, this whole thing of like, I'm offended. Why? I didn't say they deserved it. I didn't say I hate them and think they should, you know, I was almost going to say be burned alive, but that already happened. I was, you know, it's just a fucking truth. But
who
people,
was it that said like this story where someone goes that person, is this you? That there's a person in a wheelchair and then they go, yes. Oh my God. And that's you. That's, and then,
yes.
And then you go, he knows. Is that you?
Yeah, he knows.
Yeah. That's funny.
Yes. Thanks. Well, one time I saw a burn survivor in a car next to me. Like we were at a stoplight. And I like just looked over and I shrieked in horror, not on purpose, instinctually, because there was a severely disfigured person that looked like a Halloween mask that looked frightening, because a burnt face should look frightening. You should try to, this is survival. You should try to, if you see things that look frightening or that could cause damage to you, like it's that, you know, it there's a reason I didn't like, I felt so bad, so bad. But I just can't help the way I react. You know,
it's
like,
a
what
natural
would you do?
Reaction. It's hard to not react that way. The person who is burned is not a danger. So I don't know if like the evolutionary standpoint, but maybe in terms of like reproducing with them or something. But it is.
Yeah, that's probably it. But they wouldn't have survived in back in the day in caveman days. You would never see a burn victim. Like,
it's tough to put yourself in their position. And then just
be
like,
awful.
Every 5 minutes, someone is shrieking in horror at your visage.
No, I know.
You would also hope that the care that they receive, a part of it is
dealing,
you know,
with
like
that.
Learning to deal with people's reactions and how to not take it so personally.
Yes,
jeez, and that's tough.
It was awful. Sure. I felt horrible, but I also couldn't blame myself because it's not like I wanted to have that reaction. And now, and I think that it did. There was a lesson learned there where, like, I think after that moment, my brain was like, you don't get to react as soon as you want to on things when you're scared anymore. Like, there's got to be a little bit of a delay or something. I adjusted my timing in my body because I felt so bad about that. But yeah, they deal with it all the time. I mean, but to act like you don't, act like there's not a difference between their face and ours is an insane thing. And to not acknowledge it, that's where I just go like, oh, really? Oh, you don't see it? Cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we got to go to a break. We'll talk. Brian, you got to come up with an embarrassing story for us.
That happened this weekend?
Yeah, you got to have one. We'll see if he drums one up after this. Are you looking for some amazing TV to stream? Well, sink into your couch and indulge with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. We're talking some of the greatest comedies of all time. Absolute must-watch shows. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the crew in How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons of How I Met Your Mother are now streaming on Hulu right now. One of my favorite shows ever. And I mean, don't you want to know how he met their mother? Then go back home with the Dumfies, the Pritchetts, and the Pritchett Tuckers in Modern Family. Then you can start over with the Roses on Schitt's Creek. And then see what's up in the Kyle household in My Wife and Kids. We're talking every episode and every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits, streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. I mean, can you even watch all of this? We think so. Head on over to Hulu and start streaming today. Now we're talking.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
oldest girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by oldest girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So the Grammy party was super fun, and it was worth the thousands of dollars I spent to do it, for sure. Because even though I don't know that I really helped this organization win
extra
money.
Did you meet Steven Tyler? Did you
talk to him? No, and I didn't want to bother him because the even reason I was there was because of Dr. Zeitel's, my surgeon who did my vocal cord surgery. He did Steven Tyler's vocal cords. And I think he told Steven about me, and then Steven booked me on an event last year in Vegas, and Steven wasn't able to make it to that event. But then this year I got invited to this anyway. So I'm on a list, and Steven's voice is really fucked right now. And he was like, I shouldn't even be talking. Like when he was like presenting stuff, like he was like, my doctor says I shouldn't even be doing this. And so Chris was like, you should go say hi. And I'm like, I don't want to take any of that man's vocal cord energy. So I didn't meet him, but he was really funny and cool and looks amazing and played the drums and stuff. And that was cool. But Zooey Deschanel was at my table and her boyfriend, and we became pretty great friends with them by the end of the night. I will say, she asked for my number at the end of the night. Like that, because I'm never going to ask for her number, even though I wanted it. And I was like, oh, I want to stay in touch with her. She invited me to her birthday party. Like, she is so nice. Wow. We got along right away. She already knew who I was, so that was nice. But she hosted the event, and she was so funny. I was so impressed. And so it was just a nice way to bond over that, where I'm like, this is a hell gig and you just killed it. And so we got along, and then I asked them how they met, because they're just like such a funny couple pairing. Everyone's like, Zooey Deschanel and the Property Brother. Yeah. And it was really cool to hear how they met. They met on Carpool Karaoke. They were both doing Carpool Karaoke.
Oh.
And he's just so funny and so nice and so cool. And even Chris was like, I remember just being real suspicious of that relationship of like, why are they together? This seems so weird. And he's like, I could not support it anymore. He was like, I want to do a press tour about them and how cool they are and how much they belong together and how sweet they are. And it was just, they were just so funny and so nice and just so personable. And you know, I don't like to bug celebrities. Like if they would have just wanted to stay and talk to themselves, I wouldn't have even noticed or cared. I would have been like, that's yeah, of course. Like they don't, but they went out of their way to include us in the conversation and just so nice. And Tiffany Haddish was at my table, and my friend Chris Porter, Dean Del Rey, Greg Fitzsimmons was there. Baba Booey was there. Sammy Hagar, Frasier was sitting right behind me. Who else? Bill Burr showed up and donated a bunch of money for just at the start of the auction, before they did the items, they were just like, who's here to give $100,000? Who's ready to do that? And then people were just like, just donating money without any incentive. They were like giving them a scarf that Steven signed. But Bill Burr was one of the people that donated a big sum of money, which was really cool. And I was like, man, I can't wait to get to that point where I'm just like, yeah, 10 grand. Okay, let's do it. Just raise my hand casually while I'm in the middle of a conversation. He looked so cool. And I'm trying to think of anyone else. Yeah, it was fun. And and Bobby Burke from Queer Eye. I met him a while ago at my friend who was my vocal coach for Dancing with the Star, Masked Singer. I became really good friends with her, Amy Chapman. She invited me to this like dinner that she was making one night, and Bobby Burke from Queer Eye was there. And I don't really watch Queer Eye, so I wasn't that intimidated, but I come to find out it's like he's very, very famous and so talented and so cool. And so he was there again, so I got to see him again, which is always nice. And we hit it off again, and that was fun. Yeah, it's fun to.
So it sounds like a good night overall.
It was a good night. It was, it was good. You know,
what time did it all end?
It started at like 3:30, but I probably got there at 5, and it went until we left at like 11:30.
Wow.
And then we went home and finished Killers of the Flower Moon, which I did have to chop into two nights. I'm trying to watch all the Best Picture nominees.
Mm-hmm.
Have you watched Killers of the Flower Moon?
Yeah, I saw it in theaters.
Oh my God. Final thought. How did you get through that in one sitting? Did you go to the bathroom? Did you miss a scene? Like, what did you do?
Complete cookie. Complete cookie got me through the whole movie.
You didn't go to the bathroom at all?
No.
Wow. Because I would have been like, can anyone pause it? Like, I feel like with movies now, I can't go to movie theaters because I want to pause and rewind because I missed something. Because I was, you know, like you miss things. Now, when you watch things at home and you stream them, you can really absorb the whole thing. So Killers of the Flower Moon, so long, 3 hours and 47 minutes.
Yeah.
Can I just say
that?
No, you did. Really?
I like when a movie. Well, because think about it. Most days, we're watching series, and like a series is like 10 episodes and it's like 10 hours. And you get used to spending that much time with those characters.
You get breaks.
I appreciate the breaks, but I'm talking about like just sometimes I watch a movie that's an hour and a half and I'm like, I would have loved to have seen those characters for like 5-6 more hours.
Totally. Yeah.
It's not enough.
You know what? I will say that it is too long, but I loved being able to chop it up
like an
episodic thing. So yeah. Chris and I watched it over two nights and it was nice because I watched the first half and then I got to think about it and go like, what is going to happen with this? Who did kill Anna? What is, you know, is Hale responsible for all the, like all the, I was starting to, it was room. I was able to ruminate on it. It was much like when you're watching a series and then I was so excited to get home to finish it, to find out what happens. And then I was sad when it was over because it did feel like a TV show that ended too soon. But yeah, you got to chop that movie up.
There should be an option on HBO Max or on Max where you can turn a movie into a series.
That's a good idea.
It'll chop it up for you.
Leo was amazing. He is the best actor ever. His face was in a permanent perma scowl the entire thing.
Yeah, the face that all people from the 1800s had, all men.
Yeah. He had this like grimace the entire thing that definitely is not natural for his face to look like that.
No.
Yes, perfect, Brian. That's it. Yeah, the whole thing. And even when he smiles, he has it. And it was so, it's just, I felt bad for him because I was like, that's going to wrinkle his skin so badly.
Yeah.
But what does he care? It doesn't matter.
He's going to look better if he gets wrinkled. He's got to transition into his old man phase now.
Yeah, you're right.
He's going to start the transition to where he's starting to play characters who are these grizzled. Like he still has a few like baby face features that he needs to destroy at this point.
Well, this movie did it.
Yeah.
His face, contorting it in that way. He just looks like he's in pain the entire movie.
Yeah.
I just saw a recent clip from Eating Gilbert Grape. What's Eating Gilbert Grape?
Oh.
It was the scene where he discovers his mom's dead. And he's like, you know, dude, I can't believe how good he is. I'm watching that. I'm like, this is a child. And he seems so like mentally handicapped. Like without question, he's making these little movements of his face and little decisions. And apparently in that scene, they just let him go and do what he wanted. And it wasn't really scripted. And I just was reminded of what an incredible talent he is. Like just superhuman almost, able to embody someone else. But this,
every
I thought
movie
he was so
he's
good.
In, I want to see.
Agreed.
It's the same with Daniel Day-Lewis, which I'm so sad that he retired. But everything, every single thing that he did, I was just like, he elevates the movie, he elevates the script. It's amazing.
De Niro was great. Mm-hmm. Martin Scorsese was so distracting at the very end of the film.
Yeah, that was weird.
I really disliked that. I get it that you want to Hitchcock, have your Hitchcock moment. Does he do this in every movie? Because I don't remember him in other films that I've seen. Does he insert himself in every movie? He does.
He's been in movies before, but I don't know every movie.
I love him. I loved him in Pretend It's a City or whatever he did with Fran Lebowitz. I just love him. I'll watch him all day. But I did not like... He needs to play a character that doesn't have an important role. So he comes in at the end at one of a pivotal moment where you're like kind of learning... It's almost like the epilogue to the film is the last scene. And you're learning what becomes of all these people. And he has this monologue in which you really feel... It wraps it all up. And I realize halfway through, I haven't heard anything he said because I am so... Like, oh my God, that's the director. Well, yeah. I wonder how he directed himself. I wonder how, like, I'm just like, oh, he looks like this. Oh, he's actually a good actor. And like, my stupid, you know, girl mind is just going berserk about all the different things. And then I don't even realize that there's some really good, you know, what's the word called? When they describe what's happening, what's it called?
Narration?
No. There's a word that people will say.
Exposition?
Well, yes, there's amazing exposition happening right here. And I've lost it all because I'm so distracted by him. But yeah. I did kind of like it. I still liked it. I was a little dazzled. It was a little tricky. You just go, oh my God, that's Marty.
Yeah.
And I've been watching, I watched Maestro last night. Have you seen Maestro?
No, but I do want to say, I looked it up. There's Martin Scorsese has a cameo in almost every movie that he does.
Really?
Sometimes it's audio only. Like in The Wolf of Wall Street, he was just audio only.
And okay. Then
Hugo.
I like it.
Remember Hugo, the 2011 hit? He was just a like a photographer. He took a photo.
Okay.
But he's been in all of them.
I think it's fun. They're little Easter eggs. But that was just don't play a pivotal part like that because I was too distracted. I missed out on stuff.
Yeah.
I will say that the actress in it was so beautiful and good and perfect for the role. But
Lily Gladstone.
That is a role I would like to play. Do you know why?
Why?
The whole movie. You just look sad and sick. There's no other emotions going on. It's just always like, and then there's sometimes like,
perfect, Nikki. You got that down.
I love Lily Gladstone's performance.
It was amazing, but I'm not saying anything bad about her performance because she nailed what the character required.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're talking Oscar worthy, there were. Not every role is Oscar worthy, no matter how well you act it. Do you understand what I'm saying? So there weren't...
Well, like Wonka is probably not Oscar worthy, even though Timothy Chalamet...
It could be. Talking about like there just wasn't a lot of different emotions.
Well, if Wonka's Oscar worthy,
I don't know because I didn't... There wasn't like a... I guess for a character that I deem as an Oscar-worthy character, there's like peaks and valleys.
Like a range.
You need to have an Oscar moment.
Yes. And like when I think about it again, yes, I do. I think she was incredible. And like the actual interesting thing about her performance was she didn't have to say much to know exactly what she was thinking.
Oh,
and that's
yeah.
really obviously
that scene where Leo and Lily Gladstone are having their first lunch. And they're just flirting, sort of. They're flirting
yeah,
in like
so
an 1800s
hot.
Way. And it's
yeah,
just like,
that was
I
hot.
Never imagined what it would be like.
What about their last lunch?
Oh, yeah.
That was a good one, too. And I mean, and she plays sick really well. I mean, it was just, I want to get a role like that that requires me to just look depressed the whole time.
Yeah.
And like, and wrap myself in really gorgeous blankets.
Like Dallas Buyers Club or something.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't remember
AIDS
what.
Movie.
You know, but she wasn't. I mean, that movie was amazing. There was just a little bit too much violence, but that's Scorsese. And like, as mm-hmm. we began the show, like someone gets their head shot off, and I go, and Chris was like, "This is gonna be the whole thing." And I was like, "I know, but I gotta see it because I'm challenging myself to watch them all." So I'm glad I got through it. It was really good. Maestro also really good, really well acted. And he directed it too and wrote it, Bradley Cooper.
Damn.
And I mean, this is this is what I'm talking about, an Oscar performance. Like, I think the movie was the best? I think Killers of the Flower Moon was a better movie. I think that Lily Gladstone might be a better actress than he is, but he gave himself a character that has a lot to do.
Mm-hmm.
He's conducting and he's playing piano and he's crying and he's, you know, he's thriving. He's doing coke off something. He's gay. He's straight. He's, you know, there's just a lot of dynamics, which I guess, you know, I don't know anything. But I thought it was really, really good, but a little bit, I don't know what I was supposed to get out of it.
Yeah.
Some of these movies, I just go, what? I get what I learned from Killers of the Flower Moon. It taught me some history. It taught me, what did it teach me? It taught me, yeah, it just taught me history. It taught me how we treated Native Americans.
It taught me to contextualize the plight of Native Americans. And it's something that we should still be aware of in America today. Like, they still have their reservation in Oklahoma, and they own a large chunk of land in America. They're like a sovereign nation in America. And like, I didn't even know they existed.
Yeah. And I didn't know that's how the FBI started. I thought that was kind of cool. And living in the 20s, it's terrifying.
You can do whatever you want.
You could be murdered all the time.
Oh, yeah. You can do whatever you want.
No one gave a fuck.
There's that John Mulaney joke where it's like, they didn't have DNA. So a detective goes into a murder scene. There's a pile of blood on the ground. And he's just like, blood, ugh, mop it up.
Yeah. It was scary to watch, just thinking about how scary... Yeah, and it's a true story, right?
Yeah, interpretation.
Yeah, that's
of
one's
the
worth
truth.
Seeing, and Maestro is also worth seeing. I'm gonna see Poor Things tonight with my mom. Okay. I saw Past Lives. I've seen Barbie. I've seen
Oppenheimer.
Oppenheimer.
I'm worried about Poor Things. I feel like it's gonna be up its own ass, too artsy. I'm worried I'm gonna despise Poor Things, but I have to see it still.
Yeah,
I'm worried it's one of those movies where they're trying to force you to, they're daring you to like it.
Mm.
So that it's like fine art where you're like, oh, I guess you just don't understand what's
happening.
Did
you like Everything All at Once or whatever that movie was? I didn't see it, but I think that was that to me, that description of like, weird, I dare you to like this.
In description, the description of that movie feels that way, but the movie itself is much more like pop culture and mainstream than you would think. But I didn't like it as much as everyone went crazy for that movie, and
it won
best picture, and I thought it was a good movie. I really enjoyed it, but I didn't think it was like a mind-blowing, like I thought The Matrix was more mind-blowing in terms of how it like distorted your view of the universe than Everything All at Once. I'm just kind of also sick of the multiverse because of Marvel. Like, I just hate the concept of the multiverse, whether it's true or not. I just don't
What's
like this.
What's the multiverse?
The multiverse.
Just that there's other dimensions?
That there's an infinite number of dimensions, so every single possibility that
Sliding
could be
doors.
Happening. Mm. Sort of like that, but it's like every single thing that could possibly be happening is concurrently happening. And so, and this is backed by theories in physics that have been tested, and it could actually be true. But when it comes to movies like Marvel and Everything All at Once, this is definitely extrapolating on the theories and taking artistic license. But I hate it because the purpose of movie is to tell a story. And when you introduce the multiverse as a concept, you are eliminating the stakes of any story by saying, well, every single outcome in this story is happening. So it doesn't really matter what happens to these characters. It doesn't really matter what happens in this story because nothing matters because everything is happening all at once. And I guess the point of the movie is that it tries to find meaning even in that. But me personally, I'd rather there be no multiverse in art at all, because I think it completely devalues the purpose of art, which is to say that take a meaningless universe and say, this matters and here's why.
Okay. Yes, I hear that. I like the idea, though, that nothing matters because it's... I think that's an interesting point as well. I got to see everything all at once.
So then you love Ant-Man.
No,
How
is that? How does Marvel talk about this stuff? We're too late in the show to get into this, but Marvel and Everything All at Once, those are similar.
They're linked, yeah, because they're both premised on the theory of the multiverse.
I've seen action hero movies, and I don't think that I get bogged down by the fact that there's other realms where this is not happening or it's happening in a different way. I don't feel like
The only movie like that that I really thoroughly enjoyed was Into the Spider-Verse, because it was hilarious. And
someone on,
there was only like five Spider-Mans.
Love on the Spectrum. They liked that. And they kept saying Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Yes, I've seen Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Did you like Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse? Yes, I love Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. They kept saying the whole thing because I guess you have to.
It's one of the best animated films of all time.
Okay.
For sure.
All right. Good to know. Well, I'll see Poor Things. I'll give my report tomorrow. Or I mean next week. We're going to the Super Bowl this weekend.
Yeah.
I don't know if you'll be able to give Thursday your report tonight. Next weekend because our episodes are airing next week.
Oh, yes. That's
so tomorrow we should talk about our expectations.
About?
The Super Bowl.
Well, no.
No, that's today's. That's today's show.
Oh,
what
so tomorrow.
So real quick, what are your expectations?
What are your expectations?
In 30 seconds or less.
Oh, my God. 30 seconds or less? Well, I hope we get some good guests and I hope that these guests get... I hope if we get Zaire Franklin to be one of our guests, I have a Zaire Franklin jersey and I want him to sign it and I'll wear it. I'll wear it on the show.
Exciting to listen to.
I'm rooting for the 49ers because I'm anti dynasty.
Oh, okay.
The Chiefs won last year. Although if the Chiefs win the Super Bowl this year, I do win $500 from a bet I made preseason.
Okay, you should definitely want that then.
But I just like... The Chiefs are like the evil empire now. They win all the time.
Is there any part of you, Brian, that's like someone was talking this weekend about how they don't want to, they had a chance to go to the game, but they're Chiefs fans. And so they didn't want to go because they can't watch the game as easily when you're at the stadium, as opposed to on TV, you can get up close and watch the game. Is there a part of you that's kind of like, oh, I'm not gonna be able to really watch it?
No, because the Super Bowl in particular is always, you can't watch it. If you have a Super Bowl party, I think watching the Super Bowl is one of the worst game experiences of all time because you're at a party, you're eating chips, you're talking to people, and no one's actually paying attention to the game. I'd rather
parties,
be sitting
man.
There on the couch and watching the game in silence alone.
Why don't you do that then most times?
Because you got to be participate in society.
Yeah,
so
you
they
do
say.
Have to. Okay, yeah. My expectations are, will Allie bring me like a football thing to wear? Because I did not order anything in time. Does she have any kind of...
Yeah, of course.
She has something red.
Bears. It's going to be Bears, though. We don't have Chiefs stuff.
Oh, God. Will I be able to buy a Chiefs thing, you
of
know, in town, you
you're
think?
You're at the fucking Super Bowl.
No, we could probably get you something.
Work. You okay. could buy the NFL 1 million jerseys at
you're,
the Super
you're
Bowl.
You're at an NFL booth. I'm sure that someone can give you something.
Okay. All
you'll
right.
have ample opportunity to purchase an infinite
That's
number
what I'm
of
worried
things.
About.
Everything, okay, everywhere, all at once.
Yay. Okay,
we,
yeah, my expectations
tickets
are that...
We bought tickets to this and a Super Bowl game experience, which is happening at the hotel, where we can try to kick a field goal.
Yeah, that's... When you asked me about that, I'm like, am I going to have to, like, throw things and catch them and...
I think
but
it's going to be... There's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff. It's probably going to be pretty crowded.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you'll hear us from the Super Bowl next week. Those episodes will air. I'm very excited about it. And yeah.
Will you guys go on Instagram Live if you can over the weekend?
Oh yeah, for sure.
I'm gonna be Instagramming all sorts of shit.
So Nikki Glaser Pod.
Yeah,
I'm making
Nikki
a
Glaser
commitment
Pod.
To. I feel like you do a lot of stories on Instagram, and I'm kind of like, I think I should start doing more stories just to remind, because you know I post a video every like 2 or 3 weeks, and then people forget that they're following me, and then posting the stories in between makes people be like, oh, I remember that person.
Yeah, main feed. No one. I'm not even about main feeds anymore. I just want to see stories.
Yeah,
you can post anything on story and it'll disappear. There's like no, it's pretty freeing to do stories. I love it. Yeah. And you can just start doing it. No one's going to
really
be like, oh,
like
look
stories.
Who's trying to do stories. Like,
no,
you know, like you can just do it and then not do it if you want to. But yeah, it's just a way to
great.
Stay in touch.
They inform
stories.
Me of things. There's funny things in there.
Thanks.
You're frequently propping up other comedians that I've never heard of. And I'm like, oh, I want to see what that person's doing.
Oh, well, that's nice. Okay.
Yeah,
thanks.
No, I really like your stories. And then sometimes you even break news for me. I'm like, whoa, I didn't know that. Yeah.
Yeah, Toby Keith died.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't break that news, but I did see that today. And that's really sad. He just performed in December and he died.
Damn.
And it's February. Like, how
so
could you be doing
Weathers,
shows?
RIP.
Oh, boy. All right. Yeah. Well, let's go to the Super Bowl. We'll see you there next week. Don't be cut. And I'm not doing Just anymore. I'm just too exhausted trying to figure them out.
We gotta figure out
goodbye.
A
new sign off.
A new sign off.
All right,
any
brainstorm.
Have any suggestions?
Brainstorm.
Yeah, brainstorm.
All right, bye guys. See you next week.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old Richmond, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.